All right, ready for this? Woo, good stuff going on in Kings. Let's pray. Father, we do look forward tonight as we open up your word. And God, we look forward to watching this man just like become completely reliant on you and seeing you move in such a mighty way. And Lord, I pray again for all of us that Lord, we would understand you're the same God. And Lord, you don't love Hezekiah or those people any more than you love us. And I just ask that as we watch and see his example and watch you move on his behalf, that God, that would just touch our hearts in such a way we would know. Lord, we wouldn't just think, we would know, God, that you want to do great things in our lives and great things in the lives of those around us. So I just pray, God, you would move in a mighty way in our hearts here tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, a couple people remembered where we were, but the important thing is you remember what was going on with where we were. That was a heavy thing, right? So the king of Assyria has completely eliminated Israel, the northern tribe, right? He's conquered all of them, taken them away, and now, listen, now he's been moving down into Judah. He's captured a lot of the territory of Judah, and he's around Jerusalem coming at that the King Hezekiah there in Jerusalem. And remember, he sent guys out on the wall to talk to him. They're having that conversation, remember? And the Rabshakeh guy, remember that prince? He's like yelling nasty stuff at him, and they said, hey, speak to us in your language. Don't speak in Hebrew, because we don't want these people hearing what's going on. Remember all that? You guys there? All of that's going on. Now listen, we got to understand, their world is coming undone. I look at Hezekiah, and he's the king that like turned everything around. He did everything right. And now he's being attacked, man. This is going on. That had to hurt, right? Because as I've said, don't you guys kind of think when you're doing the right thing that, come on, God owes you a little bit, right? Just a little bit. We do. Come on. Don't act like all pious, like you don't think that way. Come on, when we do the right thing, we think, come on, God. And yet we see this guy do everything right, and in his life and kingdom, everything's going wrong. So now these guys have some really bad news. At the end of chapter 18, look at the last verse of chapter 18. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shibna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of the Rabshakeh. So remember, that means the Rabshakeh wasn't that guy's name. It was just like the prince, right? So they came and told him, remember, this guy is a spokesman for the king of Assyria, and he's come and he's told him all these things. So they come with their clothes torn. They're telling Hezekiah, this is not good, man. And remember what they said. Do you really think your God can protect you? Did gods of the other nations ever do any good? Man, their gods couldn't protect them. So bottom line, you guys are in some serious trouble. So they go to King Hezekiah, and here's what I think. Their clothes are torn. It's obviously a sign of humility, and we'll talk about that. But listen, I think they're at that crossroads in their life and in their country. This is it. This is a time where either they're going to go down or they're going to be victorious. And here's what they know. They can't win the war. They know that. That army out there is way too big. It's not going to happen unless God intervenes, right? So they're in that dilemma. So verse 1 of chapter 19, and so it was when Hezekiah heard it that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. Don't you love that? I think it's been like a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, I heard this quote is, when Jesus is all you have, then you realize Jesus is all you need. I love that quote, right? Because all they got left, listen, all King Hezekiah has now is God. And so Here's the cool thing. He humbles himself, right? He tears his clothes. He humbles himself. And then he goes to the place of worship. He goes into the house of God. And we're going to see he consults the Word of God. And then he gives glory to God. This is a great, great thing. Listen, in the midst of the worst time in his life, this guy doesn't run away from God, he runs to God. And that's so hard, I think, for most of us to get a hold of. When things start falling apart, a lot of us, we begin to distance ourselves from God and from God's people, and we kind of isolate ourselves. That's a horrible, horrible decision. But somehow the enemy tricks us into doing that. We need to go to God and to God's people and surround ourselves with that. And I love this, man. Hezekiah goes into the house of the Lord. And I'm thinking, woo, yes. And then listen, then it tells us in verse 2, it says, and he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. Now listen, we've been looking at Isaiah along with our study in Kings, so he's kind of been introduced to us, right? We got to know all the stuff that he said. Do you guys remember in the studying of Isaiah? Remember what Isaiah has said about Assyria? Blank looks. Now you have to go back and read the first 30 chapters of Isaiah to catch up. Remember, the Lord has said Isaiah is a tool, an instrument. I'm not Isaiah. Assyria is a tool, an instrument in my hand. I'm using them. So listen, don't you love the idea? He goes to Isaiah, and that's like us going to the Word of God. He grabs a hold of the Word of God. That's all he has left. So he sends the envoy to Isaiah, and he tells him what to tell him. It says in verse 3, and they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, the day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come to birth, but there's no strength to bring them forth. Listen, they're just using an allegory talking about it's horrible right now, right? I mean, I can't imagine that happening in a life. And then it says, it may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of the Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. They go to him, they use an illustration, they're asking Isaiah to pray to, and some people criticize, but I don't think it's a bad thing. They're saying, pray to your God. Listen, it's not that his God was different than their God, but they're recognizing that Isaiah was close to the Lord. And I think it would be okay to tell anybody. I think it would be okay to tell one another, hey, you pray to your God. Meaning, you know, the one that you're intimate with, which is the one of the Bible. Right, but go, man, listen, they're asking him to go. They want him to go and seek the Lord on behalf of Israel. And we're going to find out in a moment, even on behalf of him. Here's what I love, man. This is a great time. This is a test for Judah, a test for Hezekiah. I think maybe even a test for Isaiah. But in some ways, and don't get me wrong, this is a test of God. God, are you a God of your word? You going to keep your word? So go to God and let him know. Here's what they're saying. Go to God and let him know what those guys are saying, that he's not a God strong enough to take care of them, that he can't handle what's coming. I kind of like that. Instead of saying, you know, he's going to come and pick on us, he's really picking on you, God. So the servants, verse 5, the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servant of the king of Assyria has blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So here's what God says. Don't worry, Hezekiah, I got this. So I'm thinking the envoy comes back to Hezekiah and says, don't worry, God's got this. Do you know what happens now? It gets worse. Have you ever found, like, when you kind of glom on to something from God, that sometimes your situation doesn't get better, it gets worse? Man, and now, listen, things are going to really kind of go come down. But a little bit happens. Listen, it tells us in verse 8, it says, then the Rabshakeh returned. So he kind of backed off a little bit. He returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he heard that he had departed from Lachish. So Assyria backed off just for a moment, but listen to this, verse 9, and the king heard concerning Tirhakah, the king of Ethiopia. So listen, here's what he heard. The king of Ethiopia or Egypt today, that king has come and allied himself. Listen to what it says. He heard that king says, look, he has come out to make war with you. The king of Ethiopia now has aligned himself with the king of Judah. Oh. Now listen, so Assyria backs off a little bit. Another king gets involved. So what does that cause the king of Assyria to do? I'm coming at you full force now, man. I was playing before, but now I'm taking you out. This is it. So listen, it gets him riled. So in the end of verse 9, he again sent messengers to Hezekiah saying, now this is one of my favorite parts of Scripture. So here's what's going on. He finds out that's going on. So now he sends him a letter. And he sends Hezekiah a letter. Man, and this letter is like, I am going to... Well, let's read it. Let's read what he says. Thus you shall speak, in verse 10, to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Isn't it interesting that the king of Assyria almost knows exactly what Isaiah had told to the king, right, to Hezekiah? He says, don't let, and here's the crazy thing, don't let your God deceive you. Wow. Have you ever listened to the voice of those people who say things like that? I think if we're honest, we all have. Along comes that voice and saying, do you really think God's going to do that? Along comes that voice, do you really think your God loves you? Do you know what you just did? You ever hear that voice? Do you know what you just did? Do you think he could love you after you did that? Listen, man, this has got to be hard. Here's what I'm thinking. Hezekiah got a word that God says, I got your back. The king of Assyria says, no, he doesn't. You don't let him deceive you. Wow. Now you're torn between the word of God and the word of somebody right in front of you. Because here's what I found. When I get the word of God and I trust it, I have to walk by faith. When that person standing in front of me telling me, here's what's going to happen, that's really going on in my life right in front of me. That's pretty hard to hang on, right? So listen, not only does he say that, then he talks smack. The king of Assyria was a horrible smack talker. Right? Verse 11, look, he kind of goes over what we sort of read, only expands it a little bit back in verse 18 or chapter 18. Look, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by utterly destroying them, and shall you be delivered? So you got to go and do a little bit of history. For 150 years, Assyria has been single-handedly demolishing the world around them and taking them apart. That's huge, isn't it? 150 years? Wow. And here's what he's going, really? You think your God's going to protect you? None of these other gods. So now he begins to list them because that's what he likes to do. Verse 12, he says, have the gods of the nations delivered those whom my fathers have destroyed? Goshen and Haran and Resev and the people of Eden who were in Telassar. Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Henna and Iva? Listen, man, he even added some. Remember last time we read some of those, if you guys can remember that far back? And we read some of those. Now he's added a few more. And so he sends this letter to Hezekiah. What do you do when somebody comes and challenges your relationship with your God? I would hope that we kind of get challenged, because I think if we're getting challenged, that means we're doing something. But what do? You see, again, some of us try and figure out things on our own. We try and get it together. You know what I love about Hezekiah is he didn't call a war council. He didn't try and get all of the leaders of the country around him. Man, he went to the Lord, and then immediately he gets attacked on that word he gets from the Lord. Now he gets this nasty, nasty mailgram, you know, and he's like, man, I think I got to be really honest. I did read ahead. There's at least 200,000 people out there ready to kill you. Wow. And here you are, little Jerusalem, kind of like, what are we going to do? Even if we kind of stave off everybody, we don't have enough food, and have conquered all of the land around us. Maybe the king of Assyria is right. Maybe we should just give in. I think sometimes we do that with our own lives. Maybe we should just give in to the temptation. You know, it's hard to resist that, and it's difficult. Here's what I love, man. All that smack talk comes. Verse 14 is like one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. And Hezekiah received a letter from the hand of the messengers, and he read it, and Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord, and he spread it before the Lord. Woo! Here, God, I think this is for you. Don't you love it, man? Listen, that's the way we should be, right? Hey, they're not coming against us. They're coming against our God. And they're telling us our God can't take care of us. I love it, man. I think Hezekiah just kind of went in there with a smile on his face. And he laid it out. And he goes, Lord, you might want to read this. Because there's a whole bunch of smack talk going on here, man. And we're going to find out who can smack who, right? And that's what we need to do in the times of crisis, in the times of hardship in our lives. We need to not necessarily, and hear my heart, we don't need to fight so hard ourselves. We need to give those things over to God. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't stand our ground, but you know what I'm saying, man? We need to learn to trust Him, and most importantly, trust His Word above everybody else's Word. I don't care what other people say. God's Word is always true, and God is a God who keeps His Word. So here's what Hezekiah knows. Jesus is all he needs. Because right now, Jesus is all he has. And he just spreads that out. Man, I wonder what it was like in the temple that day. Here's what I'm thinking, too. I'm thinking God looked from heaven and went, that's my boy. Look at him. Look at Hezekiah in the middle of everything. He's the one, remember, he's the one that cleaned the temple? He's the one that found the law. He's the one that got all the garbage out, got all the high places gone. And man, listen, and now he's still trusting God. This is cool, isn't it? So listen, he gives it to God. Now listen to his prayer. Here's what I love. He lays it out before the Lord. Then he prayed. Verse 15, then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. So here, listen, man, he's declaring, right, the glory of his God. And I think oftentimes when we read a prayer like this, we need to kind of think about the way they went to the Lord, because I think it's a great way to approach the Lord. You don't memorize what they said, but the heart of what they said. Listen, he's declaring that God is God of everything. And then verse 16, incline your ear, O Lord, hear and open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste to the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but work of men's hands, wood and stone, therefore they destroyed them. Don't you love that part? Here's what he's saying. Of course you beat their gods, because they're not gods, man. They're just junk. Declaring all of that, letting the Lord know that he knows, Hezekiah knows, that he alone is God. And there are no other gods, no matter what people says. And then he kind of ends his prayer with this. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, I pray, save us from his hand. Listen, why? That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. He's not saying save us for our sake. What's he saying? God, save us for your sake. I love it when, like, remember when God told Moses, I'm just going to off all these people and make a whole new nation out of you. Remember that? I love that whole scene too. Hey, Moses, you know, I'm sick of these people. You're sick of these people. They're stiff-necked. They're hard to deal with. So I'm just going to eliminate them, and we're going to start all over with you. Now, most of us would like that idea, right? Yeah, God, I am cool. But remember what Moses said? Lord, you might think about your reputation. Because if you do that, people are going to say you couldn't get them from point A to point B, and they're going to say you couldn't accomplish that, so you wiped them out. So here's my suggestion to you, so your reputation stays intact. don't do it, right? Don't you love it when people are more concerned with the glory of God than themselves? And Hezekiah's going, God, this isn't about, it's not even about Jerusalem. This is about you and about what they said about you. I think when we come to God with that kind of heart, I think we can kind of almost sit back and go, ah, oh, now he's got it. It's in his hands. He has to deal with it. He's got to come to terms with it. It's, you know, it's all about him taking care of it. Verse 20, then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah. Now here's what I'm thinking, you know, I don't know, 14 through 19, I don't know if Hezekiah, or I don't know if Isaiah was around. I don't know if he was eavesdropping there in the temple. Oh, by the way, some people say because he declared God was between the cherubim that he was in the Holy of Holies. I don't think Hezekiah would have gone in the Holy of Holies. I think he was too godly. I don't think he would have taken that position and done that because he wasn't supposed to do that, and that wouldn't have pleased the Lord. I think, though, he knew, God said, I'll meet you on the mercy seat, right? So he knew what was back there. But now Isaiah gets involved, and now Isaiah's going to give him another word from the Lord, more promises from God. And here's what I found. When we act on what God gives us, have you ever noticed he gives us more? When you act on the light and what he shows you, he's going to give you more. And that's why I always tell people, you want to know the will of God, act on the things that are in front of you, and he will give you more in showing you the direction you need to be going. He's faithful. So listen, as Isaiah acts on that and prays out, then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah the king in verse 20, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. This is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. So listen, for a few verses here, we're going to hear what God thinks of Sennacherib. Sennacherib let God know what he thought of him. So now God's going to say, okay, you know, I'm going to let you know what I think of you. I'll tell it to Hezekiah and he can tell it to you. Well, I'll tell it to Isaiah and Isaiah can tell it to Hezekiah and Hezekiah can tell it to you. But you need to know what I think of you. And then he says, listen, the virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised you, laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head behind your back. Bottom line, he's just using this illustration again, talking about, is for this little body there that's there in Jerusalem, this group of people. And he's going, well, really, they're going to laugh at you. They're not afraid of you. And then, listen, now he's going to talk to him. Kind of face to face. Verse 22, whom have you reproached and blasphemed? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted up your eyes on high? Against the Holy One of Israel? You know, I'm thinking you never want to hear words like that coming from God to you, right? And I'm kind of thinking, man, this is intense, right? So you've spoken against the Holy One of Israel by your messengers, verse 23, you have reproached the Lord. And you've said, by the multitude of my chariots, I have come up to the height of the mountains, to the limits of Lebanon, and I've cut down all the cedars and the choice cypress trees, and I will enter the extremity of its borders to its fruitful forest. Now, here's an interesting thing. Assyria was a remarkable war machine. And they were remarkable at conquering. Chariots were used in flat ground because it's hard to drive chariots up hills. What did God just say? We watched you drive your chariots up hills. You guys went above and beyond. You guys really know what you're doing. But the problem is, I'm greater than you. And bottom line, you're really not going to win. So the Lord says, I've seen you do that. I've seen you even look at what he says. And he says, and I have dug. This is what Sennacherib says in verse 24. I've dug and drunk strange water, and with the soles of my feet I've dried up all the brooks. Listen, all the brooks for defense. Hey, if he couldn't get across the river, he didn't try and get a barge. He just built up dams and stopped up the thing and went across on dry ground with his war machine. So all of this, you can study the history of Assyria. You find out they were some intense fighters, and they were probably the most ruthless people in the world. They were horrible when they would conquer their enemy. So Israel had a right, King Hezekiah had a right to be afraid because of what was going on. So listen, God says, I see you do all that. In verse 25, Do you not hear long ago, did you not hear long ago, how I made it? And bottom line, I think what he's saying is, not just how I made the earth, but also how I made you and your war machine. I'm the one that gave you the power to do that. We can read it. He says, how I made it from ancient times that I formed it. Now I have brought it to pass that you should be for crushing fortified cities into heaps of ruins. Therefore, their inhabitants had little power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as grass of the field and the green herb and as the grass on the housetops and the grain blighted before it grows. So here's what he's saying. Listen, I did this and I gave you the ability to go do all that conquering. You thought you were doing it, but I was using you to judge the cities around you. I was using you to take out Israel because they weren't being obedient. I was even using you to come against Judah so they would get it together. You're an instrument in my hand. You know, whenever I think of world powers and see things, here's what I've come to the conclusion of. They're only there because God allows them to be there. I don't think any power, I think even in our current, you know, world, I don't think there's a world power that God has not allowed to be there for His purpose. Not for their purpose, but for His purpose. He's the one in control. I've read the book. And here's what's great about that. We don't have to be fretting things and worrying about things because God's in control. Now, it may not go the way we want it to go, but that's okay. He's still in control, right? So he lets him know all of that. And then he says, verse 27, hey, Sennacherib, I know your dwelling place. Oh, no. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? God says, hey, I know where you live. It's kind of nonchalantly. I know where you live, dude. Just keep doing what you're doing. It's not going to be good for you, right? I know you're going out and you're coming in and your rage against me. And because your rage against me, because you rage against me and your tumult have come up to my ears, therefore I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips. And I will turn you back by the way which you came. Wow. So all of that's to Sennacherib. Listen, Isaiah, again, I think he's given it to Hezekiah. Hezekiah's got to somehow communicate it to Sennacherib or not. I'm thinking, why tell him? Let him just experience it, right? So listen, now, but I think Hezekiah heard this. I think he got this and he's going, oh, wow, we're going to be okay. But here's the big issue. These guys have surrounded you for a while. And even though God may deliver you, what is there left to eat? How are we going to survive? You know, it's kind of like you're out of everything. You're empty. And the Circle K's are all closed. Safeways are shut down. There's no place to get anything. How are we going to... Listen, you might kind of get through the war, but how are we going to survive afterwards? And I think that's on their minds because look at what God tells them. God says, oh, by the way, I got you. Verse 29, this shall be a sign to you. This is to Hezekiah, right? You shall eat this year such as grows itself. Here's what God's saying. Don't worry about planting stuff. I'm going to make some stuff grow up. You just eat it. Just enjoy it. And the second year, listen, this is good. And in the second year, whatever springs up from them. Just, you know what? Just take it easy. Trust me, I have this. I don't just have control of Sennacherib. I have control of all of the plants too. I'm going to take care of you. Then, he says, on the third year, sow and reap, plant vineyards and eat fruit in them. What is God saying? I'm not only going to take them out, I'm going to make sure you're taken care of here. And you're going to plant vineyards. Remember, for a nation, especially agricultural nation like them, to say you're going to plant vineyards and you're going to reap it means you're going to be okay. Ah, kind of take a breath. Oh, man, I thought we were going to be wiped out. That was so close. And then the Lord gives them a little bit more information. Verse 30, and the remnant who have escaped the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant, and those who escape from Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So here's what he's saying. You know, there's always that remnant, right? Always that remnant. God is going to take care of them. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into this city. Now listen to what he says. Remember, you're getting this message, and the guys are out there. You're surrounded by guys. And God's saying, I'm going to take care of it. Not only am I going to take care of it, what does he say? He's not going to ever come into this city. Sure looks like he's coming into this city. He's not going to come in. Here's the crazy one. Nor shoot an arrow there. Here's what God says. Not one arrow is going to be landing in Jerusalem. Come on, man. There's got to be a couple wackos out there with a... Right? You might have obedient people, but there's got to be a couple guys. I'm just going to fling one in there and see what I can hit. God says, nope, no arrows, not one. Nothing's going to happen. God says, not one thing. And I'm thinking, now you're talking about walking by faith, right? Now you're talking about really trusting the Lord. Nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with a shield, nor build a siege against it or around it against it. By the way that he came, by that same way he shall return, and he shall not come into this city, says the Lord, for I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Woo! God is saying, I'm going to do this. Now, they're still out there. You know? Here's what I find about the Lord. He's saying, I really want you to walk by faith, not by sight. You're looking out your window, you're looking over the wall, and you're going, don't know if you noticed, Lord, but no one's moving. They're not shooting arrows, but they're not going anywhere either. And we kind of have a little bit of a dilemma. You know what I found, though, is security and peace comes when we simply trust the Word of God. Our circumstance may never change. But when we hear the Word of the Lord and we trust the Word of the Lord, we can have peace in the midst of that circumstance. And I think right now, Hezekiah and these guys, they got some peace. Why? Because they're believing God. God said, I'm going to do it. Is he going to do it or not? I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know what he's going to do, but I'm going to believe him. All of a sudden, you get that peace. You're filled with peace. And not because your circumstance changed, but because you've heard from God and you trust him. So I'm looking at this thinking, man, I wonder what's going to happen. Now, some people say it was a while between 34 and 35. I don't know. I think one commentary I read said maybe even a couple years. Be a long time, right? I'm not sure how long, but it says it came to pass on a certain night. Isn't it great when God, like, doesn't give us information? It came to pass on a certain night. How long? How long between what you said was going to happen and what's really going to happen? A certain night's not enough information. Couldn't you say, like, March 19th? On a certain night. It came to pass on a certain night. Don't you love that? It came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. Wow! It just happened on a certain night that God went out into the camp and eliminated, I think, the majority of the soldiers out there. They're just gone. They're dead. Now, one commentary I read said it couldn't have been 185,000. What he really meant was 185,000. And I'm thinking, what do you have to do that for? Come on, I'm kind of digging this story right now. I'm kind of digging the idea. And they're going, wow, that's too big of a number. How do you know it's too big of a number? Were you there? So 185,000, listen to some of you are going, you're reading your footnotes. Stop it. I'm thinking the angel killed 185,000. That's what I'm thinking. Because I think Assyria had a massive army around there. So this angel goes out and kills them. They do nothing. And again, I don't know how long they were waiting. I don't know what happened. But now, can you imagine being an Assyrian soldier and waking up and trying to wake the guy up next to you? Hey, get up. Dude, you're dead. How'd you get dead? Like, what happened? I didn't hear any shots. No one came in. You're not even bleeding. You're just dead. And they listen. They look. The army, listen, the Assyrians. And it says, And when the people arose early in the morning, there were corpses all dead. These guys are dead. So Sennacherib goes, I think it's time to go home. What did the Lord say? I'm going to put a hook in your nose, and I'm going to drag you out of here. Do you know why the Lord said, I'm going to put a hook in your nose? Because that's what the Assyrians did when they captured people. They'd put hooks through their noses and it dragged them back to the capital, and then they would, you know, just viciously murder them and kill them, but they'd drag them with a hook. I can't imagine a hook in your, ouch. So God says, man, I'm going to do what you did to everybody. I'm going to hook you and you're going to go back. So Sennacherib, verse 36, so Sennacherib of Assyria departed, went away and returned home and remained in Nineveh. I bet, man, I'm going to go to Nineveh. I'm going to stay here. I don't want to come out. I'm done with Israel. I'm done with Judah. I'm not going back in that land. Isn't it amazing when people try and come against the Jews? They never win. Check out history. They don't win. And here's what I'm thinking, man. If I'm a person, even in 2017, the one nation I don't want to go against is Israel. Read history. You kind of want to tell some of these people, you might want to read some history. Just check things out. It's like, you know, 185 to nothing. All right, so away he goes. Now, listen, we'll come back here and read the very last verse. But let's go and look at 32 of Chronicles, right? 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 20. You guys mark that? Are you there? Here's what I love, man. We just read like 30-some verses, right? Of what happened from the king, from the person who wrote Kings. The person in Chronicles gives us 4 verses of this whole thing. It's like, thanks for the details. Verse 20, now because of this, King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, prayed and cried out to heaven. All of that other stuff that we read, this guy just says, oh yeah, Hezekiah and Isaiah got together and they cried out to heaven. And they just jumps right to the good part, right? Verse 21, then the Lord sent an angel who cut down every mighty warrior, mighty man of valor, leader and captain in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned shamefaced to his own land, and when he had gone into the temple of his God, some of his own offspring struck him down with the sword there. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of the others, of all others, and guided them on every side, and many brought gifts to the Lord at Jerusalem. See, that kind of gets you some perks going on. When God does stuff like that, countries around you want to be your friend. Because they're going, you guys didn't even fire a shot, and like you wiped out the greatest war machine that man has ever seen up to this time. So we can give you something just so we can be friends. So we can hang out, right? Everybody wants to be a friend of Israel when they're on that side of it. So listen, they brought Jerusalem and presents to Hezekiah, the king of Judah, so that he was exalted in the sight of all nations. Now, that's not really a good thing. This is not cool. Listen, nations around him kind of, oh, you're so great, Hezekiah. And I'm kind of thinking Hezekiah might have said, well, it wasn't me, right? I didn't have nothing to do this. As a matter of fact, I didn't even get an army together. All I did was pray, and God did everything. Once again, I think it's important for us to give God the glory when he does something. And for us to be, you know, really be careful not to do that. Now, we're going to find out next week, but let's go back and see how he ended it in Kings. Go back to verse 37, because he gives us a little more detail. Now, it came to pass as he was worshiping in the temple of Nisroch, his god. Here's what I love, right? Here's the king of Assyria, Sennacherib. We're greater than all the gods because we've wiped out all of the gods. Now he's going to go worship his god who's greater than all of the gods, right? And here's what the God of heaven says. While you're worshiping your god, I'm going to take you, man. Because I'm going to let you know your god is nothing and I'm everything. So he's worshiping his God, right? He goes back to his temple. He's worshiping his God. I wonder if he's asking him, how come 185,000 guys died? He's worshiping his God. Then his sons, Adrammelech and Sherezer, struck him down with a sword. You know, when you give your kids bad names, they're going to come at you. You give them really funky names, they're going to come, man, and they're going to come strong. Now, isn't it interesting that his own kids came after him? If you study the history, it's because of their war machine. It's because of everything they was doing, and there were too many sons and not enough positions. And so they're kind of vying for that. But his two sons, his own very own sons, what did God tell Hezekiah? I got you covered, man. You don't have to worry about this. Yeah, but God, I thought at least we would do something. No, I'll take care of him. And he goes out, and his sons come and wipe him out. And then, listen, and wipes him out. And then his other son, this one even has a worser name. Then Ezra Haydon, his son, reigned in his place. I don't know about you guys, but this is like to me an exciting place in Kings. You know, there's a lot of great stories. And there's great things that we read. We can read in Samuel and Kings, where we have people coming before the Lord. I think of David and Goliath, right? And what did David do, man? He cried out to who? The God of heaven. And listen, man, Goliath is this big giant against him. And here's what David says. You didn't insult me, you insulted my God. So now you're in trouble. When we think of Elijah on the mountaintop of Carmel, it wasn't about him, it was about his God in heaven. Hezekiah, it's not about Hezekiah, it's about his God in heaven. And they're saying, listen, you didn't insult me, you're insulting my God. And God proves over and over and over he can handle it. And he delivers Israel, he delivers Jerusalem at this point. Now, again, I think Hezekiah touches this a little bit, because here's what I found reading my Bible. These are people just like us. And these people are fighting temptation just like we are. And something really, really great like that happens. You know, come on, I could take a gift or two. I'll give you most of it, God, but I'll keep a little bit, right? We're going to find out that's going to kind of bring him down. But I want us to think tonight of the times when we're struggling with things and things are going on, maybe not quite the way we thought they were going to go down. Even after God has spoken to us, we thought they were going to go a direction, and they don't seem to be changing. Are we going to waver, or are we going to trust God? Hezekiah is a great example, and I would challenge you, just go back and reread this, and maybe reread it, and reread it, and reread it, and get it in your heart. Just because your situation doesn't change does not mean that God's not working. And it may take time. Again, I kind of like the idea, and I don't know if it's true or not, that maybe it was a couple years from the time all of this was spoken to the time that verse 35, 36, 37 went down. Sometimes we have to wait, and sometimes we have to walk through those times with God. Because that's when we find out how much we really need him. Let's stand up and pray. Father, I do thank you, Lord, as we look at Hezekiah and look at what's going on with the nation of Judah or Israel. And Lord, we see people who hate them just because of who they are and where they are. And yet we see a king who comes and humbles himself before you, rather than trying to strategize and trying to put together a council and put together a war machine. He just comes and lays everything out before you. And God, then he has that incredible faith to trust you in the midst of difficult, difficult times. And God, I pray that this would encourage some of us. We're going through hard times, and Maybe they don't even seem to be getting better. They seem to be getting worse. And God, I pray that we would know that our God, the one we read about tonight, is just as involved in our situation and our lives as He was in their lives and their situations. And God, encourage and strengthen us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.